you would take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. It's on page 1158 of the Black Bible in the pew in front of you. Acts chapter 2, page 1158. Baptisms are a great thing in the life of a church. They are a signal, a sign that God is working in people's lives, that he's bringing people to salvation, that he's stirring them up in obedience and causing them to hear Jesus' command to be baptized, the apostles' command to be baptized. The little church that I grew up in Australia, we celebrated big if there was one person per year that came to be baptized. In 2015 and 16, so far we've had 39 people baptized. We're going to be baptizing three more this morning. Praise God. Yeah, I think that's great. This morning we're going to be looking at baptism through the lens of the book of Acts. We're going to be looking at every baptism in the book of Acts. There are nine baptisms in the book of Acts. So we're going to be scanning through these nine baptisms in the book of Acts. And what I'm going to suggest to you is the overarching idea, the big idea, the point of scanning through these baptisms is this, that all believers should be baptized like the Golden State Warriors point guards shoot three-point shots. All believers should be baptized like the Golden State Warriors point guards shoot three-point shots. So keep that in your mind as we're scanning through these nine baptisms in the book of Acts and pick up the sense of what God is doing through these baptisms and how we should be practicing baptisms ourselves. So, baptism number one, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. 50 days after Christ died on the cross and was resurrected, there was a huge crowd gathered in Jerusalem. It was the day of Pentecost, and just as Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would come, he came on this day. There were signs and wonders happening all throughout the streets of Jerusalem, and in the midst of thousands of people, the apostle Peter stood up boldly and preached the gospel. And at the end of that sermon, the people cried out, thousands of people, "What should we do, brothers?" The apostle Paul says, "Repent and believe in the gospel." And then in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, says this, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. They believed and they were baptized that day, 3,000 of them." That was an incredible day of baptisms in Jerusalem. Baptism number two, if you turn over to Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, and verse 12, shortly after this great baptism in Jerusalem, persecution hit the believers in Jerusalem, and the gospel began spreading as Christians began fleeing the persecution. And in Acts chapter 8, we find a man named Philip in Samaria, and Philip preaches the gospel to these people in the city of Samaria, and as he's preaching the gospel, these people from Samaria believe in the gospel. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, it says this, "But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." The gospel was preached, people believed in Christ and in the gospel, and they were baptized. Now the gospel is beginning to spread. Now baptisms are beginning to happen, not just in Jerusalem, but in other places like Samaria. That brings us to baptism number three in Acts chapter 8 also, verse 38. After the baptism in Samaria, an angel came and appeared to Philip and said to Philip, "I want you to go to the road that goes to Gaza." The road that goes south to Gaza. And so Philip obeyed. He went to the road to Gaza. And as he's walking along this road to Gaza, he overhears this high-ranking Ethiopian official in a chariot reading the Old Testament scroll of Isaiah. When Philip hears this, the Old Testament scroll of Isaiah being read, it says in chapter 8, verse 30, he ran to the Ethiopian high-ranking official and explained to the Ethiopian high-ranking official that what he was reading was actually written about Jesus, that Jesus was the Christ, the one who fulfilled Isaiah. And then Philip shared the gospel with this high-ranking Ethiopian man, and it says this man came to faith in Christ right there on the road to Gaza in his chariot. Now in Acts chapter 8, verse 38, it says this. They're riding along in the chariot, apparently. And it says, and he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. So here you have Philip and this Ethiopian eunuch driving down the road, and as the Ethiopian man has come to faith in Christ, and as soon as they find some water, the chariot's commanded to stop, they go down to the water, and he's baptized as soon as they came to some water. He believed and was baptized as soon as they found some water to be baptized in. Baptism number four, and I know we are flying, so I really want you to take these notes down on the screen of what passages they are so you can look at these later, but I want you to pick up the sense of the rhythm, of the flow, of the stream of what's happening here with these baptisms in the book of Acts. Baptism number four is over in Acts chapter 9 and verse 18. Acts chapter 9, verse 18. We go from the road to Gaza, which goes south to northern Africa, and now we're transported to the road to Damascus, which goes north. This is the famous conversion of Saul, who later becomes known as the Apostle Paul. On the road to Damascus, Saul, a vehement, violent persecutor of the church, was on his way to Damascus to tear the church apart and persecute Christians. He's just come from witnessing and giving approval to the murder of a Christian in Jerusalem. And now he's on the road to Damascus and he encounters Christ. He encounters the resurrected, ascended Christ right there on the road to Damascus. And Christ speaks to him and he has this encounter with Christ. And as soon as he finished seeing Christ, he goes blind. And he's taken to Damascus to get over this incredible encounter that he's just had with Christ. And during that time, through a series of events, he comes to believe in Jesus. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 18, it says this, when he's in Damascus, and immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, he regained his sight, then he arose and was baptized. He believed in Jesus as soon as he could see again. He got up and he went out and he was baptized. Baptism number five is in Acts chapter 10, verse 48. Acts chapter 10 and verse 48. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 48, we find the apostle Peter. He too now has seen a vision that's been calling him to a place called Caesarea. In Caesarea, there is a Roman centurion. Now it's no longer only Jews. Now the Gentiles are being brought in. Cornelius is a Roman centurion. He's been stirred up in his spirit and he's invited Peter to come to his house, and he's invited all of his friends and his closest family to hear what Peter has to say. And Peter simply shares the gospel. What's the gospel? Peter simply shares that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. That Jesus of Nazareth, who is the Christ, died on the cross for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. And 3 days later, Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And now he offers us eternal salvation through repentance and faith in him. And he shares this gospel, this power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And Cornelius and his family and friends, they believe. They come to faith in Christ right there in Cornelius' house. After one sitting of the gospel, of hearing the gospel, they come to faith. And in Acts chapter 10 and verse 48, It says this, and he commanded them, Peter commanded them, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain with them for some days. I want you to take note, they believed, Peter commanded them to be baptized. Baptism number 6 is in Acts chapter 16 and verse 15. If you turn there with me, Acts chapter 16 and verse 15. In Acts chapter 16, the apostle Paul's come to Philippi, ancient city of Philippi. And on the Sabbath day, it says he goes down to the river and he finds a lady named Lydia. She's a well-known lady in Philippi. And Paul encounters Lydia, who's a worshiper of God, and he begins sharing the gospel of Jesus, the good news of salvation, with Lydia. And it says that the Lord opened up Lydia's heart to pay attention to Paul's words, and she believed in the gospel. She's right there at the river. So Paul goes down, and look at what happens in Acts chapter 16 and verse 15. And after, she was baptized, and her whole household as well. And she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. Lydia was a very convincing young lady. And she's believed, she was baptized right there in the river, on the spot. Her family sees this. They come to faith in Christ. They're baptized. And then Lydia invites everyone back to her home for a great feast, a big celebration. Well, in Philippi, after Lydia's baptism and the baptism of her family, the Apostle Paul continued to preach the gospel, and he's imprisoned for preaching the gospel in Philippi. And the next baptism, baptism number 7, is down in Acts chapter 16 and verse 33. We find the Apostle Paul in prison with Silas for preaching the gospel. And as they're in prison, singing hymns to God, hymns of praise to God, God sends this earthquake, and this earthquake opens up all the gates of the prison. But as he's opening up all the gates to the prison, God also opened up the heart of a Philippian jailer. And this Philippian jailer comes to the Apostle Paul after hearing him sing of the good news of Jesus, and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" And the Apostle Paul famously tells him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." And he does. He believes in Jesus. He hears the gospel. He believes in Jesus. And look what happens in Acts chapter 16 and verse 33. The Philippian jailer took them that same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. And then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Right there in the jail, this Philippian man believes in Jesus. He takes Paul and Silas home, binds up and heals, puts healing balm on their wounds. And then he says, "I need to be baptized." And it says he's baptized at once. Now, at once was at night. He didn't wait until even the next day. It says at once at night, he was baptized. And then after this baptism, he invites everyone over again and had this great celebration. There was much rejoicing because this Philippian man came to know the Lord and he was baptized. Baptism number 8, if you turn over to Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, we find baptism number 8 in the book of Acts. Here again, we find the Apostle Paul. This time now, he is in the ancient city of Corinth. And like everywhere he went in with his team and he just began preaching the gospel. First, he preached the gospel in the synagogue. And then when they rejected him in the synagogue in Corinth, then he begins preaching the gospel in another man's house, a man named Crispus. And look what happens in chapter 18, verse 8 of the book of Acts. Verse 8 says, Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. Everywhere the gospel goes and you see people believing in the gospel in the book of Acts, what happens straight after that? They're baptized. Many of them, in some cases thousands, in some cases one. But they believe and then they're baptized. Brings us to baptism number 9, the last baptism in the book of Acts. It's in Acts chapter 19 and verse 5. Acts chapter 19 and verse 5. This is a fascinating baptism. The apostle Paul moves from Corinth and now we have him in Ephesus, the ancient city of Ephesus. And he goes into Ephesus and he finds these 12 men who are called disciples. And these 12 men have been baptized by John the Baptist. Now, that's no shonky baptism, right? I mean, you get baptized by John the Baptist, you're doing all right. But these guys, they didn't know any more of the gospel than John's baptism, it says. And so the apostle Paul shares who Jesus is with them, the one who John the Baptist was pointing to. He gives them the full gospel and tells them who Jesus is and that Christ died on the cross for our sins. He fulfilled all the scriptures and he was resurrected from the dead and he offers us eternal salvation. And it says these 12 men came to believe in the gospel. And then look what happens in Acts chapter 19 and verse 5. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hang on a second, they were baptized by John the Baptist. But here, they didn't know the whole story yet. They didn't know the full gospel yet. They didn't know about Jesus. And so when they heard the gospel, who Jesus was, and they believed in him, the apostle Paul has these guys baptized again. Now, not just for the repentance and forgiveness of their sins, now they're being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's a fascinating baptism to round everything out in the book of Acts. There are 9 baptisms through the book of Acts, and we've just scanned through every one of them. And as you think about those 9 baptisms, I just want you to take a look at the map up here of where these baptisms occurred in the book of Acts. They started down here on the right-hand side in Jerusalem, and they progressively spread out like a gunshot. Everywhere the gospel spread, baptisms occurred. When people believed, they were baptized. And so as you think through this gunshot spread of the gospel and baptisms, I'm going to suggest to you we can learn 3 things about baptisms from these 9 baptisms in the book of Acts. Number 1, belief always came before baptism. When it comes to baptisms in the book of Acts, belief always came before baptisms. There is not one instant through the book of Acts where people were baptized and then they believed. This is especially true in the last baptism we saw in Acts chapter 19, right? These men were baptized by John the Baptist, but then they came to believe in Jesus, and then the Apostle Paul had them baptized again into the name of Jesus. So in every instance through the book of Acts, in every baptism, you have people believing in the gospel, believing in Jesus, and then being baptized. That's really important. It might sound very, very simple. It's really important to allow that to sink deep within our souls. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you come to faith in him? Do you believe in the gospel that Jesus is the Christ, God's one and only Son, that he is the Son of God? And he did die on the cross for your sins, but not only for your sins, but the sins of the whole world. Do you believe that he was resurrected from the dead? And if you do believe that, be baptized, which leads to truth number 2. Number 2, believers were baptized soon after. Do you notice that? In every instance through these 9 baptisms through the book of Acts, these baptisms happened soon after. There was no long gaps. There was no months in between believing and being baptized. There was definitely no years. No, in the book of Acts, baptisms happened at once. That same day, that same night, as soon as they found water. Baptisms happen soon after belief in the book of Acts. And this is particularly highlighted in the apostles made it crystal clear. They commanded new believers to be baptized right there. Think about the apostle Peter in Caesarea when he's at Cornelius's house. And these Gentiles who they didn't know. They didn't know anything about baptism. They didn't know anything about the gospel. Peter shows up. He shares the gospel with them. They come to faith in Christ. Boom, right there. And it says Peter commanded them to be baptized. So this wasn't an optional thing. This was a matter of obedience. You believe and you're baptized at once, that same day, that same night, soon after, as soon as you can find water, as soon as you can see again, get baptized. Believers were baptized soon after in the book of Acts. And number three, the third observation, the third truth we find about baptism in the book of Acts is every baptism was joyful. Every baptism was a joyful experience in the book of Acts. This is especially important when we hear the word command and obey when it's related to baptism. There's no sense when Peter commands Cornelius to be baptized in Acts that this was some heavy legalistic burden to be baptized. No, Cornelius believed in the gospel. He believed in Jesus. Peter commanded him to be baptized and he did it joyfully. He has Peter and his whole team stay behind and have a big celebration with them. Same with Lydia, same with the Philippian jailer. Being baptized was a joyful thing. Being baptized was a joyful opportunity to share your new life in Christ with other people. Yes, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe that he was resurrected from the dead. I believe that I've been forgiven of my sins because of who Jesus is and what he's done on the cross and by his resurrection. I believe, and I want the whole world to know, and I'm willing to do that through the opportunity that baptism affords me of identifying myself with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection by being baptized in water and going down and being under and coming up. Again, baptism was always joyful in the book of Acts. It was always a reason for great celebration. And so let's be careful when we think about, when we hear that baptism is a command and it's to be obeyed. Some people think obedience is this, and to speak of obedience and to speak of God's commands is somehow a legalistic, heavy, Pharisaic thing. That's not a biblical understanding of obedience. Obedience in the Bible is this joyful fruit of faith, of true faith. You won't find anywhere in the scriptures somebody coming along and going, oh man, now I have to obey Jesus. He saved me from my sins and justified me for eternity. And now I get to be in heaven with him. And now I get to live a new life with him. And now I have to obey. You never find it. You never see it in the book of Acts. You never hear of somebody being commanded to be baptized and going, I'd like to do it later if I can. No, they just go do it and they do it and they're stoked about it. Because obedience is the joyful fruit of faith. It's not the legalistic heavy burden of something else. It's not. Obedience is the joyful fruit of faith. And we see that in baptisms all the way through the book of Acts. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Obedience is loving. Obedience is joyful. Obedience is filled with faith. Obedience is spirit-filled. And that's what we see all the way through the book of Acts. We see these people believe and be baptized and be stoked about it, inviting everyone over to their home so they can hear the gospel and hear about what it means to be baptized in Jesus' name. So as you consider these nine baptisms through the book of Acts and think through these three observations, these three truths that we can learn and glean from about baptism through these nine baptisms in the book of Acts, hopefully you'll begin to see why I said that all believers should be baptized like warriors' point guards shoot three-point shots. How do warriors' point guards shoot three-point shots? How do they? Now, most of the guys on the other teams, when they get the ball in their hand for a three-point shot, what are they doing? They're looking for the best opportunity when there's no one around, when they've got the perfect chance to get their legs underneath them and get their shot off, right? They're looking for the best opportunity. They wait, they wait, they wait. How do the Warriors point guards shoot three-point shots? They just go for it. Uh-oh. They just go for it. You can tell I'm not a basketball player. I need Dominic to come up here. They just go for it. Last week, as they're playing Oklahoma in the semifinals, I guess you'd call it. Correct me, I'm not a basketball player. But I see these guys getting the ball, Klay Thompson, these guys, Klay Thompson was on fire. And they just get the ball and boom, he just go for it. Where's Sam? Sorry, Sam. They just get the ball and boom. They'd point and shoot. As soon as they get the ball, they'd point and shoot. And as you read through the book of Acts and you look at the baptisms, every single one of them, all nine of them, you don't see delay. You don't see waiting for the right circumstances. You don't see any of that. You see point and shoot. You see believe and be baptized. You see being saved through faith in Christ and expressing that faith to other people through baptism, confessing Christ to the world, anybody who would hear. How? Through baptism. Point and shoot. All believers should be baptized, just like Warriors point guards shoot. How do they shoot? They point and shoot. They get the ball and shoot. Even if there is a huge 7-foot man towering over them, they'll still shoot it. And pretty much this year, every single time, it goes in. That's baptism. Point and shoot. These three brothers and sisters here this morning, they're coming and they're pointing and shooting. They've heard the invitation to shoot, point and shoot, and they've gone, I'm in. I believe. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was resurrected from the dead. I believe he's come and he's saved me from my sins. He's forgiven me. He's justified me before God for all eternity. He's given me the gift of everlasting life. He's filled me with his spirit so I can live a new life for Christ by faith, by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And they're coming to be baptized. So as you think through every baptism in the book of Acts, it's point and shoot. It's at once. It's that same day. It's that same night. It's as soon as they find water. It's as soon as they can see again. It's point and shoot. The thing that qualifies somebody to be baptized is belief. You can believe today in the gospel, and you can come and be baptized today, at once, this day. If you can't see, I will come and help you. And there's water right here. Point and shoot. We're going to baptize these brothers and sisters now in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this body, the church here at Cyprus. I thank you for the way you are working here, stirring in people's hearts, hearing the gospel and working your amazing work, opening up eyes to you, Jesus, and causing people to want to follow you, to joyfully obey you, which we've just evidenced here this morning through these baptisms. Lord, we're so grateful for your work in our lives. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Avalas this morning. Lord, we pray right now for John and Myrna and James. We know that right after your baptism, Jesus, Satan came and tempted you for 40 days. And so, Lord, we pray for your covering over these three brothers and sisters who've just been baptized. We pray that you would equip them and encourage them and provide them people around them, the Church of Cyprus, to encourage them in these days, Lord. So we're so thankful for them. We're so thankful for their obedience to you. We're so thankful to you for saving their souls and doing that in our midst. So we love you and praise you, Jesus, and it's in your mighty and strong and overcoming and saving name that we pray. And everyone said, Amen. Would you please stand with me? If you would like prayer this morning, I'm going to have our elders come down the front and they would love to be praying with you. If you'd like to know more about what it means to be saved, about the gospel, please come down the front and talk to them. But for now, may God bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Thank you.